Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
We're dedicating today's show to some of our favorite conversations about food and family, and our next guest joined us for a conversation that touches on both. Fanny Singer is an art critic, curator, a PhD, and co-founder of the design brand Permanent Collection. In a memoir titled Always Home, A Daughter's Recipes and Stories, Fanny Singer writes about her, quote, very rich and full and just a little bit unconventional childhood, and details her culinary coming of age with the guidance of her mom. Her mom is a trailblazing chef and activist, Alice Waters. Almost Home includes 60 recipes nestled in between stories and vignettes from their life together, from her mother's garlicky noodle soup to their special coming home pasta. Fanny Singer and Alice Waters joined us on the show in May, soon after the book was published, and I began by asking Fanny why she wanted to write this book.
You know, my mom and I had worked on this little book in 2015 called My Pantry that was really collaborative, sort of co-written, and I did some illustrations for it. Mm-hmm. And coming off of that project, which I really loved, I had this hunger to kind of write about this relationship that we had. It reminded me almost of how much material was there. And so I was still living at the time, actually, in England, and the idea is from a distance, beginning to look at this very important relationship in my life. And to try and excavate a lot of its stories seemed like a really appealing thing to do. And then it became something, in a way, almost totally different from what I had anticipated at the beginning. But a book that, in a way, felt like it needed to be written before I could write anything else.
When did it take that turn away from what you had anticipated to this new thing, this new entity?
Yeah, I think I thought it would be a little bit more of a straightforward cookbook, and that would be what would drove the narrative or the contents, really. And then my editor at Knopf was just really open to it being kind of whatever it needed to be. And as I started to write about the food, I realized that the stories that contextualized the recipes were really the meat of the thing. But I think also subconsciously I knew that in order to get beyond, in a way, this relationship, which is so important to me, but also one of the defining things about my life. I mean, if you Google search me right now, my the response is that I'm just Alice Waters' daughter. There's no, like, Fanny Singer's an author or, mm-hmm. you know. So I think, you know, having to figure out a way almost into and then around that definition, which, because it's never been fraught for me, it's just a fact of my life. It was, how do I get into it and excavate it and understand it better? And that meant actually writing about the stories of my childhood and the various things that I think really impressed me and made me who I am today.
Alice, I'm going to ask you to, you can put on your mom hat right now and tell me, what do you think your daughter's talent is as a writer? Tell me about your talented writer daughter.
Well, I always thought she would be a writer from an essay that she wrote in ninth grade. She had been in a French school, and then she went to a school in San Francisco, and she wrote an essay, and I said, oh my God, this beautiful, this incredible. I know she's going to be a writer, and I felt that all along in her work in college at Yale and afterwards, that she could make any subject, you know, really interesting because of her sensual approach, her use of words. I mean, she has all of those subtle ways of describing smells and tastes, and it's attracted me.
And she has an excellent, beautiful description of your hands, which I've asked Fanny, to read. And by the way, listeners, my guests are Fanny Singer and Alice Waters. We're talking about Fanny's new book, Always Home, A Daughter's Recipe and Stories. So Fanny, will you share the stories of your mother's hands?
Sure, yes, of course. So this is in a chapter called Peeling Fruit. One of the most distinctive things about my mother is her hands, though I would imagine that the hands of anyone's mother would seem distinctive to them. Those are the hands, after all, that soothe us throughout so much of our childhood, that change our diapers and swaddle us and hold us and comb our hair and apply unwanted sunscreen and antiseptic and band-aids and put on our clothes and tie our shoelaces. But there is something about the way my mom uses hers, which is to say, with total conviction and without fear, that makes them seem so unordinary. Her hands are, in fact, quite small, her nails perpetually shorn from a mix of anxious biting and crude clipping and the occasional cooking accident, like the time she took off the very end of a finger trying to shell a green walnut to make a liquor called mochino. What other people often notice about her hands is her battery of rings, the stacks of unshowy, stone-studded Victorian bands that grace nearly every finger. Having a modest treasury on her fingers does not, however, prevent her from plunging her hands into whatever she pleases, a salad that requires tossing, shrimp that needs shelling, a near-scalding broth whose bones have to be removed immediately. Needless to say, none of her rings are perfectly intact. There's always a stone missing here, an irreparable ding there, a scratch, a tiny pearl that will never, ever be replaced. But there is also something in the strength of her fingers, whether congenital or from years of kitchen work, that I find especially unusual. In this, her hands are a sort of mirror of her determination. Don't let appearances deceive you. She can pick up the largest cast iron pan without a wince, carry a preposterously large suitcase that she'll pretend is too heavy for her if I, her trusty porter, am anywhere in sight. When I was little and straight from the bath, I'd kneel before her wherever she was seated, usually the living room sofa, and proffer my head to her towel-cloaked lap. She'd gather up the towel on either side of my head and fold it over the back and rub furiously, the intensity of the pressure of her fingertips against my skull at once reassuring and electrifying.
My guests are Fanny Singer and Alice Waters. That was passages from Fanny's new book, Always Home, A Daughter's Recipes and Stories. So Fanny, how did you want to balance your writing about Alice Waters, that is your mom, and her beautiful hands, and then the Alice Waters we all know?
Well, I think the first thing to say is that the book is really not, you know, expository. This wasn't my sort of takedown or like pulling back the curtain in some violent way. I don't have that story to tell. You know, I actually think we have a success story as a mother-daughter duo in terms of how much we really love and respect one another. So this was, but I still felt like there were things, of course, as her only daughter and only child, that I could illuminate about this otherwise very public persona. And I do say in the book that I think there's plenty of parity between who she is in the public and who she is at home. But I also felt it was important to round that out, you know, that there is, that she has a wonderful sense of humor. I mean, we crack up. We've been sheltering in place together for the last 2.5 months, which is the longest we've lived together, you know, probably in like 20 years. But it's, you know, it's been, I mean, as devastating as this time has been, and very, very hard for my mom going through the closure of Chez Panisse and all kinds of things. Like, we just, there's been so much humor and joy in our time together. And I think that comes across in the way I try to describe, you know, the bigger picture of the relationship.
Let's bring it to the moment for a moment, because obviously we're all under stress, especially folks who are in the food industry and restaurant business. How is the pandemic affecting Chez Panisse and the local farms that supply your restaurant, Alice?
Well, the farms are so valuable right now, and it's going to take everything to really support them and encourage them to flourish, or we're going to lose this farm-to-table movement. And so we felt like the most vital thing we could do was bring food from the various farms, but our main farm that's open to Noma. We make boxes of vegetables. We add a few little homemade things of Japanese. But that's what's really valuable. And then we've had the very good luck to have friends who have given us kind of a bridge loan until we got the small business loan. And I think we're good for this period of time, and we're trying to keep everybody together so that when we do open, we can do it very quickly. And that's been our main concern, is that we're taking care of each other. I've always thought of Chez-Penis as a big old family, La Famille Penis, and I'm feeling that kind of love and care for everybody.
My guests are Fanny Singer and Alice Waters. We're talking about Fanny's new book, Always Home, A Daughter's Recipes and Stories. And this is a great story, Fanny. You dedicate a chapter to the lunchbox. you're right. There was a point in your school lunches went from being more or less normal, peanut butter and banana sandwiches, celery and almond butter dotted with raisins, ants on a log, to what amounted to a completely bonkers act of culinary prowess. What's an example?
Well, I can't tell you the exact date or the exact year, but I just remember there being this real pivot to away from the old paper bag and into this land of, separate compartments and ice, and actual silverware and napkins. And I think it was around when I started, it was like late middle school or right before high school when I started to get these much more elaborate concoctions. And I think, in retrospect, it probably was around the time that my parents were separating when I was a young teen. But my mom just really devoted herself to this act. And also because there just wasn't a good alternative, for me at school. And so she wanted to make sure I had delicious, beautiful things. And one thing that I always remember is that the vinaigrette was in a separate small jar so that the salad wasn't prematurely dressed, because of course then the salad would wilt. So there were always little steps and things that had to be done, which we also talk about being a kind of hangover of the Montessori teacher training that my mom had, which was to encourage kids to actually do the things for themselves. So there being a kind of almost ritual to the experience actually meant that I was really engaged with lunch, and all of my friends would clamor over and come asking me for little bites of my strawberry fruit salad or garlic bread or whatever it was.
I would be remiss to say
they were notorious.
I would be remiss if I didn't mention that there are recipes in this book as well. How did you decide, Alice, were there a recipe that you said to your daughter, this has to be in the book. This must be in the book. I really feel strongly about this.
Well, she chose all of these recipes herself without any consultation with me. But they turn out to be all of our favorite family recipes. And so I'm just delighted that they're all collected there together. And they're from all different people that are friends, everybody from David Tanis to Nilofer Echevarria, the Indian chef and cookbook writer, and just from Lulu Perro, Richard Olney, all of our favorites. And it really has everything that I would have wanted in there.
I have to mention the photos in this book, Always Home. They're really lovely. Who is the photographer, and what kind of conversations did you have creatively about the look and the feel and the emotions you wanted to evoke with these photos?
Yeah, so from the very beginning, I knew that the book couldn't have sort of scrapbook, vintage, archival photos. It felt like the wrong way to illustrate something that I was writing, at age, or a project I began in my early 30s. And feeling like that's for a book much further down the line, and I wanted there to be more of a kind of atmosphere of the relationship illustrated in the photos and not for them to feel directly illustrative of certain recipes or what have you. It just, I also knew this was never going to be really a conventional cookbook. And so I felt like the photography couldn't conform to that kind of cookbook vernacular either. So I emboldened myself with a couple Negronis at Via Carota in New York and wrote an email to Brigitte Lacombe, who is such an extraordinary and very well-known photographer who is known mostly for her extraordinary portraiture, black and white, stunning images of people like Meryl Streep and Frances McDormand, and she's worked on many film sets with Scorsese and all the greats. And I thought it was a real long shot, but I knew, as she's a family friend, and I knew of her more casual photography that she would create and populate Instagram with, and I was so intrigued by that vision. So I wrote her, and I was so thrilled to hear her write back and say, "Oui, Fanny, like, I sounds like a lovely project." And then conversations began, and she traveled actually with us to France to take the photos that mostly illustrate Domaine Tompier, which is this winery in the south of France that was a very seminal place for my mom in her younger years at the beginning of Chez Panisse, where she forged a relationship with Lulu Perrot, who is now 102 years old, the matriarch of the Perrot family. And so we visited Lulu right after her 100th birthday, and Brigitte was with us there to take images. So having Brigitte there, it was always this implicit understanding of how things needed to be cataloged. It was kind of just in a very intimate way, and kind of also knew that they needed to be black and white, you know, that it would have this much more nuanced feel. And I hope that people like the images. I certainly feel like it's an enormous gift to me and my mom to have these photographs showing our relationship at this one moment in time. I just feel like I'll treasure them forever. And I had, thankfully, also, I should say, an editor who was Peter Gethers at Knopf, who was just intent on getting this book to look right and feel right and for the images to be printed beautifully. And so it feels like kind of the book is both a photography book, a recipe book, and a memoir, kind of all wrapped in one.
That was my conversation with Fanny Singer and Alice Waters about Fanny's memoir, Always Home, A Daughter's Recipes and Stories. Dining at Chez Panisse remains temporarily closed during the pandemic, but the restaurant continues to offer prepared meals, pantry supplies, desserts, wine, and beer to pick up from their outdoor front patio Wednesday through Saturday. And they also run a Sunday marketplace, which includes weekly seasonal organic produce boxes curated by the Chez Panisse chefs.